in North Central Indiana. It's the Insurgent Radio Network with Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy, broadcasting live from the bunker in Warsaw, Indiana, right next to the Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern, where the elite meet to drink, sometimes eat. You can reach Tom at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Address your letters and mail to Tom Metzger, the Insurgent, or just old plain box holder. Good old Tommy will get it.
Here's Tommy.
Well, here we go, boys and girls. Hey, it's February. Oh, wait a minute. March the 1st already? How about that? First thing you know, we'll have posies coming up out here in the yard. It's Moon's Day, Monday, yeah. And is that a full moon? My clock, I think, says it's a full moon. How about that? Watch out. Watch out. I went to see the Wolfman movie yesterday with my Bane Squeeze. And, boy, that's a scary movie. Yeah, man, once you get bit, you know, once you get bit, you in big trouble, man. Is that anything like the Jew virus, huh? Is that like the Jew virus where you get bit and you get the virus, the Jew virus in you, and then you're a monster, and then it takes a silver bullet in your brain to stop you? Maybe the Jews, the big Jews in the top ought to be shot with a silver bullet. Maybe that would stop this shit, you know? And maybe Hitler should have not wasted his time on all the small time and poor Jews over there, and even middle class, and put some silver bullets in the top of those bankers' heads before they got out of Germany. What do you think? Because I submit to you that if Hitler would have done away with 0.1% of the Jewish population running finance at the top of the bankers and so forth, and the Rothschilds and those kind of people, if he'd have done that, his job would have been done. He wouldn't have gotten into a war or anything. He just, or at least get that done first, and then encourage some people in England, which is Jerusalem, Tel Aviv number 2, maybe even number 1, to do the same thing there. And then a few guys and gals done the same thing here in the United States, it'd have been all over. Yeah, it wouldn't have been World War II at all. Just remember, like my grandma used to say, war is a Jew harvest. Yeah, that's about as succinctly as you can put it, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I've been thinking again. You know, Tommy's always trying to think, you know. I don't know whether I got too much left to think with, but I'm thinking, you know, Ben Klassen may have been wrong. Well, he was totally right on nature's eternal religion, but he tended to be really in there with Uncle Adolf. And I got to thinking about this, and I'm thinking, because this morning somebody emailed me and got all upset because I said Hitler was not a Christian. And, I mean, you saw neo-paganism all over his parades and everything else, plus the Himmler was building SS schools all over the country. And like that, so, and of course, his table talk supposedly said that he did not believe in Christianity and he wanted to get it out of the way. Now, we get an email in here from a fellow that calls himself John Smith, which is not very believable, but that's okay if he wants a little privacy. But he says, "Hi, Tom, I believe David Irving is wrong." David Irving is wrong? How can you say that? Well, fact is, those table talks are phony. Bormann wrote them. Anything Hitler did not sign is suspected phony. Well, Bormann wouldn't have wrote table talks, which talks about his Hitler's opposition to Christianity and all that, because Bormann was an atheist. Yeah, Bormann was no Christian. he was maybe a neo-pagan or something like that, but I believe Bormann was a flat-out atheist. So Bormann could not possibly have written table talks. So anyhow, that's one thing I wanted to discuss. So then Mr. John Smith comes back again and says Leon DeGrail insisted Hitler was deeply religious. Hitler made many Christian statements, and Hitler was not a liar. And no one knew Hitler better than DeGrail. Well, that's interesting because DeGrail was fighting the war most of his time. He had very little contact with Hitler. Most of his contact with Hitler is for photo ops and so forth, and I'm sure they talked a little bit, but and I knew Leon DeGrail, talked to Leon DeGrail in Spain over the telephone and had a letter from him like that. So, but we never talked about whether Hitler was a Christian. So I find that to be highly suspect. You would need to have somebody who was like Goebbels or somebody that was close to Hitler most of the time. Of course, once the war started, Goebbels began to take a second banana. He was sort of pushed to the side. Remember, he was the real socialist in the thing. He was a real socialist, and towards the end of the war, he turned out to be one of the best guys in the bunch, because when everybody was saying everything was fine on the Eastern Front, it was Goebbels who went around and talk to the population, turn in all their fur coats and all that kind of stuff, the women, everybody, to ship those east for the guys in the field, while the rest of the Third Reich leadership was saying, oh, things are pretty good in the east and all that kind of stuff. So we got to hand it to DeGrail. He probably saved a hell of a lot of lives, not DeGrail, but Goebbels, who saved a lot of lives for doing that. Anyhow, here's what I was thinking about, boys and girls, and that is the fact that some of our people, we keep talking about Talmudic law and how Talmudic law is working itself out in modern society. Well, I think that's true, but I think Talmudic law was translated into Christian, into the Christian religion, and applied through Christianity more, actually, than through the Talmudic. And I believe that because I don't believe that there's that many people of European descent that would buy into pure Talmudic writings, because if you read it, you can see how insane they are. So it had to be put into another form to be digested by white non-Jewish people, and that was Christianity. And you'll find now that the basis for so many ridiculous laws in our society had the Christian church at its basis. And remember all the persecutions of people under the banner of Christianity, and even burning witches and so forth. Now, isn't that ironic? It would seem to me that this whole purported plan to get rid of the Jews, no matter which way it went, out of Germany and out of Europe, is really a reenactment of Old Testament Judaism, as far as I can see. And so I think, you see, here's the point. I think Hitler picked up on the Old Testament and applied it to the Jews. Well, that's a very interesting way to think about it. And are we the reason I got that thought is because some people are so fanatically pro-Hitler as to not to see his foibles and the fact that he was a politician. And is it because they have a fanatical Christian underbelly? And I noticed that some of the people who have very strong Christian convictions are the ones who jump on me the fastest and the hardest when I make any criticism of Hitler. Well, was that because Hitler was carrying out an Old Testament type program there? Let's think about that and talk about that. Everything's open for discussion on my radio show, and it's open for discussion in print. So I don't think that you could be a really, really, really good soldier for the race and still cling to Christianity, because you're actually working with watered-down Talmudic law, and when you practice Christianity, and the fact that these people insist on making Hitler Christian, which, should it be that important? I mean, should it be that important? And if he was really a Christian, was he working out the Jewish type law in his attack on the Jews? Well, anyhow, that's something I was thinking about, and you can talk it over among yourselves or talk to me. You know, I just had a request to publicize the World Church of the Creator, Church of the Creator's Forum. And I told them, I'll go one better. We're always looking for guests for our radio show on Monday night on Podblank at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And if you want to have a guest on there, to get in touch with me. Same goes for everybody. And also, we do these TV shows, Race and Reason, every month. We do at least two. Sometimes we can do three. And if you've got a representative you want to send up to us, actually coming up on March 8, let us know, and we'll try to set you up. You got to be able to get to Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is on the in the north part of Indiana, near the Ohio border, and we'll put you on the show. So anybody that's wanting publicity, well, come on down. How about that? Yeah. Well, as you know, I do these shows on podblank.com. Whoa, I better get my microphone over here a little closer. And sometimes during the day or evening, I'll come on here and just sort of talk to the boys that are on the chat board. Well, I know you know how I feel about chat boards. I don't like them, really. But as long as we have reasonable people talking about reasonable things and asking reasonable questions and making reasonable comments, I think they're fine in that sense. But I noticed that some of the people, like the other chat boards that come on, and they're either agent provocateurs or just stupid people, and not in the struggle for the white race at all. I noticed last evening on my chat board we had one or two people come on and start using all kinds of filthy language and jokes and so forth. Now, we have women that are watching and listening to our transmissions, and I'm not going to tolerate that stuff. And so last night what I did is I told them to knock it off, and the person didn't do it. I just pulled a switch, because I'm not going to support anything where... Now, I'm not talking about a little street language, but I'm talking about, you know, some of the nastier kind of talk. And so I want to tell everybody that if you come on my service, my show, or my chat board and start talking filthy, you're going to get bounced, because we just won't tolerate it at all, and I just closed down the whole damn chat. Well, I see that Ernst Zundel is allegedly out of prison, and that's good. And I hope he stays out of prison. And I've had pleasant conversations with Ernst and like that. However, I encourage people not to fall into this trap of trying to reclaim the honor of Germany, because 99% of the white German people don't seem to give a damn about it at all. And revisionism can be a trap. Tremendous amounts of money have been spent on revisionism, and mainly to recoup the honor of Germany. And a lot of it's correct revisionism, and some of it's nonsense. I told Ernst before, I said it was foolish to come to the United States, and it's foolish to keep waving at the lion, because the lion's going to bite your hand off. Now, you could go over there and any place else and say, I don't care if 6 million died. Even if you believe 6 million died, you could say, I don't care. Or you could say, well, maybe it's a good thing, you know, and there's no law against that. but to actively come out and deny the H word, because it's all Talmudic law, like Wall Street says. It's they have decided what's true and what's false, and if you do not go along with it, then any country you're in, they're going to blast you. And you can argue till hell freezes over about how many Jews died in World War II, and it won't make a bit of difference. And so people keep saying, well, if we knock the props out from under the H word, the whole thing's going to fall apart. I don't think so. These are very clever people. They're very well entrenched in the governments and Hollywood and the news media, and it's their way or the highway. And so, boys, I don't want to see you going to prison for nothing. So if you want to really get exciting, get excited, just say, I don't care how many Jews died in World War II. I want to know, I'm mostly upset about how many non-Jews died in World War II. Because the Jews now are not only a protected class, they are in power. And if you don't believe so, go out to any place, restaurant or any place else, and start talking about how bad the Jews are. You can get away with talking about how bad white people are, and you can get away with talking about how horrible our ancestors were. You can even get away in some places talking about how bad the blacks are. But I dare you, or I don't necessarily dare you, but I say go out in public and start talking about the Jews in a more, in less than humble manner, and you're going to be in trouble. Now that means they're in power. That's what power is. Even in the Bible, which I don't rarely quote, I believe it says, for fear of the Jews. Yeah. So anyhow, that's Ernst, you're out. You can talk about World War II all you want, but don't go into a country that has a Jewish law and Jewish power and put your head in a lion's mouth. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You're not going to win that way. Like I say, Hollywood and the news media and the government and everything else is obeying and kneeling and to the Jews, to the Jew power. Not to all the Jews, of course, because there's millions of working class Jews that really have nothing to do with anything. I'm talking about the Talmudic boys in power. That's what I'm talking about. And when I say the Talmudic boys in power, I include white Christians. Because they have Jew think, the most powerful people in the country have Jew think, and they're white Christians, or they say they're white Christians, but they're really just lackeys of the Jews. So if it wasn't for those lackeys of the Jews wouldn't have a chance, because they're too small a group. So, well, here's a tip from one of our supporters, T.T., late last fall, I insulated all my windows with ThermaHeath. ThermaHeath 3 insulation. Fiberglass insulation for walls has one layer of aluminum foil on one side, but ThermaSheath 3 insulative sheetings has 2 layers of aluminum foil and 1 layer on each side. Even though ThermaHeath 3 insulative sheeting is available in up to 4.5 inches thick, I am on purposely use 2 1.5 inch sheets that I glued together so that they have 4 layers of aluminum foil for greater visual insulation from thermal imaging devices. I glued 2 1x4 boards with handles on each double sheet so that I could remove them from the window wells. I custom cut them, they easily cut with knives, for each window well so no light passes through too. The 2 sheets have an insulative rating of nearly 20 inches of dead air space. Even though this winter has been colder and blowier than the average, my home heating cost was considerably lower. Even though the insulative sheetings are only rated with R factors for the purpose of heat energy, I'm using them for other purposes too. they have completely eliminated the passage of light, so that when I have my lights on inside the house, no one on the outside of the house sees any light, which gives the impression that no one is home. In addition to no light passing from the inside to the outside, the insulated sheetings also reduce the passage of noise. They also prevent anyone on the outside from looking into my house. So in addition to reducing my home heating and cooling costs, they have an indirect effect of protecting me from my nosy neighbors and any passerbys. For less cost than buying a cheap handgun, I have completely redressed my exposure to my neighbors and anyone, including blue DNA, who passed by. Lone and ghost wolves should consider wisely. Okay, that was one of our ghost wolves who's got his thinking cap on. Well, I see some people never give up, and that's good. You know, a former Ku Klux Klansman convicted in the 1964 slayings of three civil rights workers has sued the FBI, claiming the government used a mafia hitman to pistol whip and intimidate witnesses for information in the case. Edgar Ray Killen, an 85-year-old former sawmill operator and one-time Baptist preacher, was convicted in 2005 of manslaughter based in part on the testimony from a mistrial 40 years ago in Mississippi. The lawsuit filed Wednesday in federal court seeks millions of dollars in damages and a declaration that Killian's rights were violated when the FBI allegedly used a gangster known as the Grim Reaper during its investigation. The FBI has never acknowledged using Scarpa, known gangster and killer Gregory Scarpa Sr., was hired by the FBI allegedly for $30,000 to coerce witnesses to tell where the bodies were buried and who put them there. Stories about Scarpa, who died in 1994, has been the stuff of gangland lore. But in 2007, Scarpa's mistress testified in an unrelated case involving an FBI agent. Linda Shiro said she came to Mississippi with Scarpa, and he once shoved a gun into a Klansman's mouth to get information for the FBI. And that comes from the Clarion Ledger down there in Jackson, Mississippi. The Clarion Ledger has been at odds with the Klan for decades. And I'm trying to think of the guy's name, Jerry, the main guy that writes all the anti-Klan stuff down there. I've talked to him before. He, way back, he had infiltrated the Klan. That's good news, and I hope Ray Killen's family become rich. He deserves it. That's true. A little story that shows you how Talmudic law works its way out through Christian-oriented law is, of course, what happened up in Canada during the Olympics when the girls, I think, ice skating team up there won the gold. And afterwards, and I guess people had left the arena, they had a couple of drinks of alcohol and smoked a cigar. And then all of a sudden, everybody went crazy that the whole, how horrible this is. Now that's totally flat out Talmudic working out through Christian law, the Christian fanatics. That so what? Like a guy said, who cares if they'd even rolled a doobie and smoked a marijuana cigarette? So what? They won. So you don't see this. Most people don't see this in connection with their daily lives, how there's so many tremendous numbers of laws that work out through the Christian religion and it affects all their adherents and the fanatics, and then they vote for crazy-ass laws. And what happens is these politicians, they run based upon, they know they can get a reaction from these Christians, and they come up with these crazy laws. Christians were behind the big deal about drugs back around 1918, I think it was, when before that people could go into a drugstore and buy drugs, and there wasn't near the drug problem we have today. They were behind, of course, the Volstead Act, trying to get so-called to get people to stop drinking. Well, that's none of their goddamn business if somebody wants to drink. And these are all worked out through a quasi-Talmudic Christian law. So remember that. Well, I see as of today, the Republican Party has issued its campaign slogan for the 2012 election. I think it's pretty good. You know what it is? Don't renege. Don't renege. Somebody sent me another funny one here. It's shows Obama lifting up a beer sampler, and sort of dark beer, not too dark. But anyhow, it says at the bottom, not too dark, bitter, not much of a head, an accurate description. So we're going to put that up on our news and views, and I think you'll get a kick out of that one, too. Let's all go out and get some bumper stickers on that renege. 2012, don't renege. Let's get a bunch of bumper stickers and get those on. That'd be funny. Well, TT, whatever happened to Al Gore's ozone? And this is the same Al Gore who once ridiculed Ross Perot for warning us that our factories would all be sent to China. Al Gore is a typical dope-smoking little kike Jew boy. Well, this goes along with the Zundel story to our friends around the world. This morning at 2:45 Eastern Standard Time, I received a phone call from our British friend, Lady Michelle Ranoff, who told me, "We have him in the car, all is well, here he is," and I could exchange a few happy words with my husband. Ernst assured me that his release went smoothly, then he would call me a bit later with additional details. Half an hour later, I received a fax from his lady attorney, Alexandria Ritterhouse, who told me, "Ernst is in freedom. A few people were at the prison gates, but everything went peacefully. I did not have an opportunity to talk to him, but he looked happy. Below is a photograph taken just a few minutes ago showing Ernst and his splendid Austrian defense attorney, Dr. Herbert Schaller, who at the young age of 87 fought like a lion for Ernst's release." Well, we'll send that picture along to News and Views. And don't forget, it was the American Immigration Service that arrested Ernst, put him in chains, and sent him back to Germany. So don't forget it. The same immigration department that does almost nothing about the massive numbers of mud people coming into the country or that are still here. So just remember that when we roll out the guillotine. In fact, I've got an idea about that guillotine. I'm thinking, couldn't we get some industrious guy with a wood shop to put together a wood-type guillotine, you know, and paint it black and have a blade of plywood or something like that and put these together, or have the plans to put them together where you can haul them around on a little trailer, and every time a politician comes to town and wants to speak, pull that guillotine out in front of the hall or whatever. It'd be totally legal. Get back to me on that, boys. Well, I was sent a little interesting thing, sort of got my attention. The headlines: Terrible Tommy spends 27 years in solitary confinement. And for those of you who think that Jews never get hammered, well, think again. Tommy Silverstein has been held in solitary confinement for the past 27 years, longer than anyone else in the federal prison system, his lawyers say. He is locked up at a high-security prison in Florence, Colorado, known as Supermax. The lights are always on. Guards who slip him food through the slot in his cell door usually ignore him. A few times a week, he is permitted to exercise in the recreation room, alone. Visits from his family and his lawyers are conducted through plexiglass. Silverstein's isolation is the result of an unusual no-human contact order issued by a judge in 1983 after he murdered a guard at the federal prison in Marion, Illinois. And I'm sure there are guards there that deserve to be murdered. Marion was known at the time as the most rigorous confinement in the federal prison system. Silverstein has referred to his solitary existence as a slow, constant peeling of the skin. His attorneys, who are affiliated with the University of Denver, filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Bureau of Prisons in 2007, alleging that such prison conditions violate the cruel and unusual punishment clause of the Eighth Amendment. The lawsuit filed in the District Court of Colorado is awaiting trial. At Supermax, Silverstein, 58, practices yoga and meditates in his cell. He might catch an episode of The Sopranos or a reality show on the black and white TV in his cell. It's his only way to see the outside world. Now, talk about cruel and punishment, that surely is. I think it would be much more humane to put a bullet in somebody's head than put him in a box like that without any human contact for that long period. And that's how, what rats run the state, the federal government. And they love it. It's, here again, your Talmudic law working itself through the Christian law, because in the states that have the broadest Bible belt, the most fanatical Christian states are the ones who execute the most prisoners. Isn't that interesting? I don't understand. I thought Jesus was for forgiveness and taking it easy. Don't look like it. Yes, Anthony, I received the items mentioned. Thank you. Well, here's a suggestion from one of our wolves, and this is Great Lakes Lone Wolves March Books of the Month, and the first one is Pepper Sprays, the Practical Uses of Pepper Sprays. And I'm sure that book has got more in it than just shooting it in your face. And then the next book is PVC Projects for the Outdoorsman, Building Shelters, Camping Gear, Weapons, and More out of Plastic Pipe. That looks interesting. And then All Out Hand-to-Hand Fighting for Commandos, Military, and Civilians. Yeah, there you go. Well, thank you for the tips. Thank you. Hey, T.T., to hell with these pity promoter bastards. I myself have suffered extended periods of poverty, unemployment, due to a variety of unjust reasons. I was worse off than these niggers. Why? Because I had absolutely no welfare, no food stamps, no unemployment insurance, no handouts at the food bank. No, nothing. And this is what these turds will get from me. Nothing except lead from my M1 Garand. Every time these niggers, Jews, or any other mud race garbage get political, it's always to steal something or everything from Whitey. They're on to you, dark turds and political thieves. My advice, stay out of the range of my tuned-up military guns, or you'll be one dead, dirty guy's man, pronto. And he sent along a picture of his M1 Garand with super-accurate, extreme, double-heated, treated, Krieger, custom-made barrel. An average Garand shoots a 3-inch group at 100 yards. This one, the bullet holes overlap. And that was from the philosopher. You notice how interesting it is, the comparison between the Chilean people's response to a much worse earthquake than the Haitians got, and their ability to cope, and not standing around waiting for the Red Cross, not standing out yelling, "Please help us, the world, please help us." In fact, Washington's always, "Oh, we want to help you, we want to help you." So sometimes I think that has a lot to do with getting their capitalist stooges in there and getting their spies in there to see what the hell people are doing in these countries. But at any rate, the Chileans are digging out immediately and putting things back in order, where the Haitian Negroes, the African Haitians, are just standing around. Dear Mr. Metzger, let me start out by offering my apologies on how this letter may sound to you. I'm not angry with you per se, but I am angry with the white nationalist movement as a whole. Well, I'm not a white nationalist, so I guess that leaves me out. I've decided to direct my letter to you because of your long-standing position of being at the forefront in the movement. Well, I'm not in a movement. It's called the Bowel Movement. That's the right wing. And to my knowledge, I haven't wavered. Well, I wavered. I left the right wing. For some time now, I've been visiting a lot of white nationalist websites and reading a lot of their literature, and I must say that 95% of the movement and people are out there are full of shit. On nearly every website, I hear all this ranting and raving about nigger this and nigger that. That black are taking the country into the ground. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not the type to black, I'm not a type loving black integrationist, but I have been wrong for quite a few years, and focusing on niggers is not the way to go. They aren't the problem at hand, and it's damn Hispanics. Well, they're not Hispanics, they're mestizos, sir. And just because that you have recently found about the mestizo explosion and invasion does not mean that people are wrong about the Negroes. Negro crime is still out of control. Whites are being brutalized and so forth. So I agree with you that the mestizo problem is just as bad or maybe worse. But you can't drop the problem with the Negroes. But once I say that, I say we don't have to spend all of our time on that. If people at this point don't understand Negro crime, Negro crime is hopeless to even talk to them. In my opinion, those who focus their efforts on blacks are just appealing to people's emotions and trying to evoke fear and paranoia to con people out of their money. Well, I there may be some that do that, but I don't think you can relieve the Negroes from the crime and the murder and the rape and everything they've been doing to us for our race for decades and decades and getting away with it. So let's not say let the blacks off the hook. Let me illustrate my position. If one looks around, one can't help but see the steady Hispanization. That's a big ass word. Why don't you say mestizination of this country? Many Hispanics, true Hispanic is a white person that hails from the Iberian Peninsula. He's not a greasy mestizo. If he's a greasy mestizo, he's not really a Hispanic. Hispanics used to be confined to a Mexican neighborhood on one side of town, maybe a Puerto Rican neighborhood on the other side of town. Now they're everywhere. Well, of course they are. You're talking to a person who's fought the mestizo invasion since 1971 and put my money where my mouth is. I mean, nobody has to tell me about mestizos. I lived among them. I fought them. I demonstrated against them. I've been sued by them and everything else. I'm a school teacher, and I've seen this year alone three white teachers lose their job, not because of niggers, but because Hispanics, mestizos. The school, due to its influx of Spanish-speaking students, had to hire more teachers who speak Spanish, so the other three teachers had their positions cut from make room for these mestizo. I mean, personally, I thought this was America, and the language was English. This bumping whites at my school is not an isolated incident. It's happening all over the country. Well, I warned you in 1971. I mean, I don't even recognize this email address. I mean, where were you guys when I was demonstrating in 71 on the border when I was running border watch cars and communicating and turning wetbacks in and all that kind of stuff? Where were all you guys, you know? Now they come around and tell me what I've known for a long, long time. Oh, jeez. I told you that that's going to happen the minute they come in and they get this immersion thing going with the Mexicans learning the English, and then they get a bunch of them in here. I told you decades ago they're going to take your jobs, and they're going to take your teaching jobs. They're going to take your nursing jobs. They're going to take it all. I mean, where were all you people? Another example of the more personal note. My mother recently had to sell a longtime family ranch in Texas because it was becoming increasingly unsafe for her. Who was she in fear of? Not niggers, but Hispanics. Because of so much traffic of illegals coming into through Texas, my mother's property was constantly vandalized, trespassed on, and even broke into on more than one occasion. And the real kicker is that on one occasion, when the perp was caught, all law enforcement could do was to send him back across the border. No jail time, nothing. That ranch had been in the family for generations. Look here, Mr. Metzger, if you really want to get real white men and women to join a movement, no, I don't want them to join any damn movement. I would recommend that you get those who look to you for guidance to start talking about what's really going on in prisons, You got guys calling themselves Aryans, but they align themselves with the Mexican mafia. What type of mess is that? Well, what are you doing to stop it? I know all this. I've known all this stuff for decades. And people like you, Johnny-come-latelys, stand around and say, what am I going to do when I told you what to do decades ago? The only thing they understand is equal and opposite power, and that includes violence. Talking about it and all that kind of stuff and all your whining about it, and all these people now suddenly recognize there's a problem. Well, what do we do about it? Well, we can't be violent. Well, I'm telling you, they're violent. But you can't forget about the nigger crime. You can't forget about that. Come on, give me a break. I'll tell you, sometimes it becomes so frustrating. So frustrating. Oh, man. I guess I'm sort of strange and weird that I've lasted this long.
Well, I see old Johnny's back in, or no, Hal's back in court today. In his first trial, Turner's lawyers attempted to portray him as a shock jock and showman who never intended to harm the judges or anyone else. An investigation by The Record, that's the newspaper there in New Jersey, in November, based on a review of confidential government documents, showed Turner had been recruited by the Newark-based FBI counterterrorism agents in 2003 and was paid thousands of dollars to spy on Aryan Nations, the National Alliance, and other extremists. I wonder if that's me. I wonder if I'm one of those other extremists. Turner's formal relationship with the FBI ended in 2007, according to FBI documents obtained by The Record. I don't believe that. But documents also show that Turner continued to remain in contact with agents until a few weeks before his arrest in June. Meanwhile, in the wake of his first trial, his mounting legal bills, Turner is broke. Oh, gee, he was always broke when I heard him on the radio, too. He filed for bankruptcy last Wednesday, claiming he owes more than $95,000 in unpaid bills, and his once popular internet radio network, which attracted the extremist audience, is now worth only $1. Well, we ought to buy his network. Now, wait a minute. He is, well, that's right. Nobody died, so he can go bankrupt. I could not go bankrupt, and my son couldn't go bankrupt because there was the death of Melagata Sarah. Turner stopped broadcasting after his June arrest, in part because he spent most of the next 4 months in a variety of jails, much of them in solitary confinement. When released last October on bail, the judge imposed a gag order and not only barred Turner and his lawyers from talking about his case in public, but blocked him from returning to his radio show or to his blog commentaries and the income he gained from it. Well, I think that is unconstitutional. I don't think a judge should be able to do that, but they have the power, and so they do whatever the hell they want. Right, boys and girls? Federal prosecutors who are based in Chicago are traveling to Brooklyn for the start of today's trial did not answer questions or comment on the case. But a spokesman for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Chicago said federal officials are treating the Turner case as a high priority because of the alleged threat was directed at federal judges. Well, you and I both know that Hal Turner wouldn't have the balls to shoot anybody or do anything. You know, these guys, guys like him would always blow off like that. You ought to do it, is what they say. You ought to do it, not me. We take this very seriously, says spokesman Randall Somborn. Citing the gag order, Turner declined comments, so did members of his family, as well as his lead defense attorney in the trial, Michael Orozco. The Turner's bankruptcy lawyer said Turner's life is in shambles. He can't earn a living, so he was forced to file bankruptcy, said attorney Ronald S. Lowe of Hackensack. Turner's trial, which is being closely watched by First Amendment advocates, as well as civil rights groups who monitor America's extreme right wing, stems from an internet posting by Turner in June, which is when he harshly criticized three Chicago-based federal judges. Well, oh, man. Well, anyhow, that's that for now, and I'm sure there'll be more this afternoon. Probably in a couple of hours, we'll get another blast of the ongoing saga of FBI informant and international spy, Hal Turner.
Well, I noticed that the Aryan Nations supposedly buy property in this town in Oregon, some little town. But typically, either by setting up some kind of a phony deal to get the press, or stupidity, they didn't quietly go into the area and buy the property, get it all set up, and not build any guard towers or chain link or electrified fence around the joint, and quietly go into business there or whatever, but they blabbed to the press first. Of course, the press goes nuts, and they get all the bohunks out there, and they're marching around, not in our town, not in our town. Well, what if the Aryan Nations was bringing a new factory to the town, huh? That'd be a different story. That'd be a very different story. Oh, you're welcome here, boy. We're going to hire 200 people in this town. Come on in, Aryan Nations. Yeah. But anyhow, if they were serious about getting into the community, they did it in a very stupid way. The way to do that is just individual families gradually filter into a town, an area, buy property, not right on top of each other, just dress regularly, no uniforms, no flags, none of that stuff, and keep your mouth shut until you got some power. And even then, you probably should keep your mouth shut. So anyhow, but does the right wing ever learn? Do they ever learn? No way. We don't want to learn. We know what to do. It's you guys causing all the trouble. Well, this is interesting. This is from out of the area of Northern California, Central California. The place is more frequently known as Valley Ghetto and is the most classic textbook illustration of what no community that even bears token evidence of civilization should ever allow itself to degenerate into, as Napa has done and Sonoma is, in its ongoing fit of yuppified vacuity, trying to do Valley Ghetto, is the poster child for the clarion call to arms against the blessings of multiculturalism, which, as Joe Sobrin so incisively put it, is nothing more than an arrogant refusal to accept any true culture seriously. Now remember, the reason I'm talking about this is because Napa is the place where we had our first Aryan Fest, and how the courts wouldn't let us even play music at our gathering. Can you believe that? Out in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by thousands of acres of almost nothing, and the judge wouldn't let us play our music. Now they're getting karma. It's karmatic. The non-whites are moving in and drowning them, and I wish a pox upon their house. If anyone is looking for a laugh, get on the San Francisco Gate comments and see what Count von Luckner, from the great and celebrated German sea captain Felix Graf von Luckner, has to say about the ultimate black hole, such as Hubble could never find. Now they're finding it. Well, here's a fellow that's a little upset with a Christian religion. A Christian is a human being who has allowed his head to be implanted and grafted into the anus of the Jew while slashing his wrist and offering the Jew his life's blood. Judaism will only be defeated when its support group, Christianity, is utterly destroyed to the point of razing all churches down to bedrock. Christian church steeples are dial indicators of the strength of the Jews. They're all now fully upright, indicating the full strength of Jew power. How about that? Well, it looks like you're going to have to start shooting sooner or later, no matter whether you want to or not. Diversity comes to Dixie. This is Middle Tennessee, not Central California. Middle Tennessee's gangs are no longer just graffiti-spraying juvenile delinquents. They are armed and dangerous criminal enterprises that recruit young people with allure of fast money, street status, and a sense of belonging, even if the group they join may get them killed or sent to prison. People don't understand there are drive-by shootings going on in Murfreesboro. said Ed Yarbrough, U.S. Attorney for the Middle District of Tennessee. But Tommy says if you shoot one of them down, they'll put you in prison. Oh, you gotta leave that up to the incompetent cops and the federal agents. Quote, there are witness elimination killings happening at the Hickory Hollow Mall. We've got this mindset that suburban areas don't have a gang problem, but we need to wake up to the fact that they do and drive them out. We have to do it. Why don't the guys say, I have to do it? As in Tennessee, gang activity has spiked nationwide. Well, why? Because you don't stop anybody from stopping it. Like it used to be in the old days, a citizen went out and ran them down. What the hell? Nearly 800,000 gang members. Oh, you can't take the law into your own hands. You just can't do that. Well, then how are you going to solve the problem? Because the cops can't solve it. Nearly 800,000 gang members and 27,000 gangs operate across the 50 states, the Justice Department survey shows. Some estimates have the figure at 2 million gang members. Here we go. While there are no statewide numbers, gangs are present in most of the state's 95 counties, including many communities in the Nashville area. A Tennessee Bureau of Investigation report says police have identified 5,000 gang members in Davidson County. Murfreesboro estimates 400 to 500. Columbia has 200. Well, why are you spending so much time studying it and not stopping it? I mean, come on, guys. And that's in Tennessee. There we go, man. Sooner or later, somebody's going to have to start shooting these bastards. Hey, Tommy. All these mainstream talk show hosts like Rush Scumbaugh are working feverishly decoying the public away from the grim, horrible Jew truth. Rush even sounds frantic, conning you back to the neocon. But just listen to the intro music to Hannity's program. Let freedom ring. It sounds like what should be heard when the Jew mess is genuinely cleaned up. But for now, it's backed up by bamboozling lies, bankruptcy, ignorance, and a desperate, hidden Jew conspiracy, right? Well, this is an interesting piece of information. Warsaw, Poland. When Paul, P-A-W-E-L, looks into the mirror, he can still sometimes see a neo-Nazi skinhead staring back. The man he was before he covered his shaved head with a skull cap, traded his fascist ideology for the Torah, and renounce violence and hatred in favor of God. Well, there's plenty of violence in the Torah, so I don't think you've changed much at all. Quote, I still struggle every day to discard my past ideas, said Paul, a 33-year-old ultra-Orthodox Jew and former truck driver, noting with little irony that he had to stop hating Jews in order to become one. Well, isn't that cool? When I look at an old picture of myself as a skinhead, I feel ashamed. Every day I try to do the teshuvah, whatever that is, he said, using the Hebrew word for repentance. Every minute of every day there's a lot to make up for, man. I'll tell you, Powell, who also uses his Hebrew name Pinchas, asked that his last name not be used for fear of his old neo-Nazi friends would come and do him bad harm on the head. 20 years after the fall of communism, Powell is perhaps the most unlikely example of the Jewish revival underway in Poland, of a moment in which the Jewish leaders here say the country is finally showing solid signs of getting back into Jew worship. Before 1939, Poland was the home of more than 3 million Jews, more than 90% of whom were killed by the Jews. By the Nazis. Most who survived immigrated. Of the fewer than 50,000 who remained in Poland, many abandoned or hid their Judaism during the decades of communist oppression, in which the political pogroms against Jews persisted. Today, though, Michael Shudrich, the chief rabbi of Poland, said he considered Poland the most pro-Jew country in Eastern Europe. He said the attitude of Pope John Paul II, a Pole who called Jews our elder brothers, had finally entered the public consciousness. Oh, jeez. This gets more sick after. 10 years after the revelation that 1,600 Jews of the town of Jabłonka were burned alive by their Polish neighbors in July 41, he said the national myth that all Poles were victims of World War II had finally been shattered. Well, I wonder, was there any reason why they burnt their Jewish neighbors? Like maybe years and decades of robbery from the Polish people? Before 1989, there was a feeling that it was not safe to say, "I am a Jew," Rabbi Sudrich said. But 2 decades later, there's a growing feeling that Jews are missing a limb in Poland. The level of anti-Semitism remains unacceptable, but the image of the murderous Pole seared into the consciousness of many Jews after the war doesn't correspond to the Poland of 2010. A small Jewish revival has been underway for several years around Eastern Europe. We love these Jews. Bring them on back in. We never learn a goddamn thing. The majority of them raised as Catholics. Well, that's just a different form of Judaism. Are either converting to Judaism or discovering Jewish roots submerged for decades in the aftermath of World War II. In the past 5 years, Warsaw's Jewish community has grown to 600 families from 250. The cafes and bars of the old Jewish quarter in Krakow brim with young Jewish converts listening to Israeli hip-hop music. Michael Parag, a popular Polish dancer and television star who recently proclaimed his Jewish roots on national television, said the revelation had won him more fans than enemies. "Poland's changing," he said. "I'm Jewish. I feel good." Yeah. Powell's metaphor was from baptized Catholic skinhead to Jew began in a bleak neighborhood of concrete tower blocks in Warsaw in the 1980s, where Powell said he and his friends reacted to the gnawing uniformity of socialism by embracing anti-Semitism. They shaved their heads, carried knives, and greeted one another with a right arm salute, gesture of the National Socialists. "Oy vey, I hate to admit it, but we would beat up local Jewish and Arab kids and homeless people," Powell said on a recent day from the Norzak synagogue here. "We sang about stupid stuff like Satan and killing people. We believed that Poland should only be for Poles." One day, he recalled, he and his friends skipped school and took a train to Auschwitz, the Nazi death camp near Krakow. "We made jokes that we wished the exhibition had been bigger and that the Nazis had killed even more Jews," he said. Even Powell embraced the life of the neo-Nazi. He said that he had pangs that his identity was built on a lie. His church-going father seemed overly fond of quoting the Old Testament. His grandfather hinted about past family secrets. "One time when I told my grandfather that Jews were bad, he exploded and screamed at me. If I ever hear you say such a thing again under my roof, you will not come back." Wow, that's pretty wild. Yeah, he's a good Jew now. Powell joined the army and married a fellow skinhead at age 18. But his sense of self changed irrevocably at the age of 22 when his wife Paulina suspected that she had Jewish roots too. Went to a genealogical institute and discovered Powell's maternal grandparents on a register of Warsaw Jews, along with their own grandparents. Wow! And when Powell confronted his parents, he said they broke down and told him the truth. And his maternal grandmother was Jewish and had survived the war by being hidden in a monastery by a group of nuns. His paternal grandfather, also a Jew, had 7 brothers and sisters, all Jews. Most of them had perished in the H-word. "I went to my parents and I said, 'What the hell?' Imagine, I was a neo-Nazi. Heard this news, I couldn't look in the mirror for weeks," he said. My parents were the typical offspring of Jewish survivors of the war who decided to conceal their Jewish identity to try and protect their family. Wow. Wow. Boy. Shaken by his own discovery, Paul said he spent weeks of cloistered and tortured reflection, but was finally overcome by a strong desire to become Jewish. even Orthodox, acknowledged that he was drawn to extremes. He said his transformation was arduous, akin to being reborn. He even forced himself to reread Mein Kampf, but could not get to the end because he felt such physical pain. When I asked a rabbi, "Why do I feel this way?" he replied, "The sleeping souls of your ancestors are calling out from the grave to you." At age 24, he was circumcised. Oh, Jesus. Oh, that causes goosebumps. At age 24, they cut his part of his pecker off. Oh, man. Ouch. 2 years later, he decided to become an ultra-Orthodox Jew. He and his wife are raising their two children in a Jewish home. Isn't that nice? Paul noted that he was still singled out by the same anti-Semites who once counted him among their ranks. Quote, "When younger people see me on the street with my top hat and side curls, they sometimes laugh at me," he said. "But it's the old ladies who are the meanest. Sometimes they use language I used when I was a skinhead, saying, 'Get out and go back to your country. Jew, go home.'" And now he is studying to become a shahet, a person charged with killing animals, according to Jewish dietary laws. "I'm good with knives," he explained. Yeah, well, he's going to piss Peter off by being the knife man at the slaughterhouse, man. Well, boys, that's about all I can take for the day. I'll be back tonight, 9 o'clock, if I can recuperate from this journey through Poland. And, of course, I live next to Warsaw, you know, but luckily it's not Poland. 9 o'clock tonight, Eastern Standard Time. Have a good time. Tomorrow is Tuesday. Now, I promised the Wolf Computer Guy is going to be back in here, so we'll see whether that happens tomorrow. Terrible Tommy off and clear, 14-5.